you, most of you know, I absolutely love the Gospel of Mark. This is the best example of a Markan sandwich, where Mark takes a story, and in the middle of the story, he puts in this other story. So this is the story of Jairus coming to Jesus and saying, "My daughter is dying. Will you come and help me?" And there are similarities in the two stories. Suddenly, as they're moving toward Jairus' house, this woman comes up and touches Jesus' clothes and is healed from her illness that she's had for 12 years. The daughter is 12 years old. You're meant to take these stories and put them together and figure out what it is that Mark has for us in this. For me this week, it was to say that Jesus meets us where we are. So let's pray together. Thank you, God, for giving us this beautiful literary gospel with this story about Jesus and who Jesus is for us and to us, and how Jesus helps us in our lives with unconditional love, with confidence, and with beauty. Help us in our understanding of this today, and bless us as we hear and think about this message. In your name we pray. Amen. So we have these two people who are desperate, desperate for help, who come to Jesus in their own way. One of the things that these stories tell me is that we can't put Jesus or God in a box, that God heals in a way that is suitable for the person that is being healed. Our help comes in unconditional love and comes in the way that we need it to come. God meets us where we are. Jesus, in this story, is omniscient. He knows that the little girl isn't dead. And yet it appears that he doesn't know who touched his robe, just that some power has gone from him and he knows that someone has taken it from him. But in reality, as we read the story and we understand that Jesus is going to see this little girl who is dying, and he understands all of that, he must know. Perhaps it's a way for him to help his disciples understand that he knows what's going on without telling them the whole story. This woman who was bleeding for 12 years, in that day and age, a woman's menstrual cycle meant that they were unclean. There was something, not just disease about this, but something that meant that she couldn't touch a man or go to the synagogue. There were limits to what you could do if you had a disease like this. And yet she was bold enough to go to Jesus and touch his clothes. She believed that Jesus was the way to get to healing. So Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And she eventually realizes she's got to confess. And this is another thing. Did Jesus really need her to confess? If you look at other stories about Jesus, sometimes Jesus does healing and people don't even know it's him. But we get to see this woman go full circle with her agony. She knew she was healed, but did she feel guilty about it? She felt bad. She felt like she took something from Jesus and felt guilty, and eventually threw herself at Jesus' feet and admitted what she had done. And what did Jesus do? He kindly told her, "Your faith has healed you. You're okay." You know, kind of psychologically, didn't she need that, to know that she didn't have to feel guilty about being healed from this disease? She might have gone on all of her life not knowing that Jesus happily gave this healing to her. Before I left, I preached a sermon about Sabbath rest. And I said I would keep a journal about my Sabbath rest during my trip. And what I recognized after the first few days was that I was writing everything in my journal. That every moment of my vacation was Sabbath rest. That I was embracing what was happening to me, being in a new place, knowing that we were going to have this great adventure. And We went on the adventure, and there were times when I felt like I didn't quite measure up. I was having real difficulty with the altitude, and I felt like I was always lagging behind and felt less than. And I was reading our Judgment Detox book and realized that I was judging myself and nobody else was. It was only me. Everybody said, go at your own pace, it's all good, everything is fine. We know that there are limitations, we all have those. And so I began to complete my Sabbath rest in every moment. There were struggles, and sometimes it didn't feel totally restful, but I knew that God was with me all the time, meeting me where I was, and that it was okay if I lagged behind, because that was my pace. On our trek, we were lucky enough to have 12 of us. 12 is a good number of people, 12 disciples, 12 tribes, very biblical. We had a leader who was an amazing guy. His name was Eddie. And his picture is up here with us. He's right there. Eddie is Peruvian, and he had been doing this for 30 years or something. I don't know if you recognize these people, Sissy and Ron, and there's me. These people you'll see someday. But during this time, this person, Eddie, who shared with us that he was a Christian, but told us all about the religious beliefs of the Peruvian people. He was so kind and so wonderful about everything. He told us without prejudice about how he felt that the Christian church or the Catholic church had done a lot to take away the religious ideas of the people of Peru and how they had still kept some of these ideas even within Catholicism, but that there was a spirituality amongst the people of Peru that he felt it was unfair to take that from them. As much as he felt that he related to Christianity, he still helped us to understand what the religious views were there. So one of the days that we were on the trek, it was our longest and hardest day, and we went up to over 15,000 feet in a blizzard. We had to figure out how to cope and how to deal with not just the altitude, but the snow and the 9.5 mile day. And during this time, our leader came to each one of us to make sure that we were okay. He never judged us for where we were. He just came to us and said, how's it going? What can I do to help you? We had a 13-year-old on our trek who he said, you're coming with me because I need to make sure you're okay on this trek. He was one of the most Christ-like people I have met in a really long time. I don't think I ever heard him say a bad word about anyone or about the place he lived. He talked about the sacredness of the mountains, and he took us on this journey with complete unconditional love. It's how I view Jesus in this story. Jesus knew that Jairus' daughter was dead. He knew that he was going to raise her from the dead, but he gently said, she's not dead, but sleeping. He didn't take on any of the glory of having brought this girl back to life. He just gave a gift to a family who needed that love and attention. And on his way, he healed someone else. Unconditional. I heard somebody just a couple of days ago say to me that God had visited so many problems on them that they were tired of it and they wanted God to stop it. And I wonder why this happens. Why do we say that God visits these things on us when bad things happen? It's an interesting phenomenon. It's not the first time I've heard it. It won't be the last time I hear it. But to me, in my relationship and my experience with God, especially in the example of Jesus' life, when did Jesus ever visit anything terrible upon anyone except to give unconditional love? When bad things happen to us, to me, that isn't God, that's life. But we're never alone. We do have that prayer and that connection with God that says that Jesus will take our hand and say, here I am for you, wherever you are in your life, no matter what your struggle is. On my way up that mountain that day, I thought of all of you praying for me, and I knew that I was going to be okay. I was never afraid going up that mountain. When we got to the lodge that night and we had dinner and we had our briefing with Eddie, he said, I've never seen the weather ever like this before. This is the worst I've ever seen it on any trek that I've been on. And he said, I got lots of information about what the weather was going to be like, and the only reason I went through and had was because I believed in you, because of you, because of your attitude. The 12 of us were positive people. We knew we could do it. We knew that we could help each other. People gave up gloves and hats and jackets to people. We worked together to get over the top and get to the other side with a leader who believed in us unconditionally. We met people along the way that didn't have what they needed. And Kevin and Gail gave up a lot of their stuff to these people who were freezing cold and we weren't sure if they were going to make it. It's an interesting situation when you live in the place of knowing that you're going to be okay, knowing that you are cared for, knowing that God is with you. Jairus and this woman who isn't named knew that Jesus would be there for them. They knew that they had hope in the understanding of God's love. So when Jesus meets us where we are, that is for each one of us. If this story about Jairus and the woman who was bleeding doesn't teach us anything else, let it teach us that God cannot be put in a box, that God's love cannot be honed into one way or the other, that God's healing happens in different ways for different people. As we go along life's journey, we are visited with life's ups and downs, but we are never alone. And Jesus will always meet us where we are. Amen?